And so with that, that's all the announcements I have. I just want to read a few verses before we start singing in Acts chapter 22. And then there's the verse on the front of our pamphlet. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, John 8:36. And the topic of this conference is freedom obtained. And for those of us in America and the America's extension, Canada, we enjoy a lot of liberty. We enjoy a lot of freedom here. And so you know what freedom means. And for those of you who may feel like you're free and don't know anything about the Bible, well, if you read a few verses ahead in John 8, it says, if anyone therefore sin, he is a servant of sin. And we know from Romans that all have sinned. So those of us all born in sin were born into the servitude of sin, slavery. And so the freedom we're talking about is freedom in Christ. And I just want to read a few verses, maybe a tangential topic for today, but I just want to read them in Acts 22, verse 24, talking about Paul here, the him being Paul. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the barracks and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know for what reason they cried against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And then at the end of verse 28, and Paul said, but I was born free. So I trust that most people in here are saved. And so you know this verse, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And that was Paul's state. He was free. Verse 28, I was born free. Born free. We are born again as believers, born free. And yet he was bound here. They were going to scourge him, but it said in verse 25, he bound him. And so I just want to challenge us very practically before we go into these studies. Individually, just think in your mind right now, what has you bound? There's a lot of things that bind us up. We're born free. We're free. The Son has made us free. We're free indeed. But yet, we can't get away from these things. We're bound. Some of it may be work. We're just so consumed with work. Even today, you're going to check your email and see if the boss did anything and see if this or that and maybe write a couple emails. Maybe it's sports. You just, you know, last night, all the young people, we haven't seen these people in a year, haven't seen David in like 4 years. And what are we doing? We're sitting down watching the Penguins play the Lightning. And the Penguins lost, probably because we were watching. That's sports for a lot of us guys. We know that. That has us bound. We can't get away from it. Maybe it's something immoral. Maybe it's just friends. It's WhatsApp. It's Snapchat. Just think, whatever has you bound, just for one day today, one day, try to leave it all to the side and enjoy these lectures. We're talking about the God overall blessed forever. He should have every day, 24/7. Let's at least give him this one day of lectures for him to receive all the glory and honor. So I just want that challenge in the back of our mind. What has you bound? You're born free as a believer. What has you bound today? And challenge that as we talk about freedom obtained. We're going to have a short time of singing now. And we could start with hymn number 16. Pauline will be playing, so it's good. 16 from the choice hymns. The choice hymns should be in the box in front of you or the book thing in front of you. There's more in the back if there's not enough. Brent's going out there. Maybe he can grab a couple in Caleb. But 16. With his blood he purchased me, on the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Number 16, Brother Ehab is going to have a lecture from Orange County, California, and Andrew will read the first set of scriptures. And before I open in prayer, just one other announcement. There's a time of discussion after, and if at some point in the lecture you have a question, just write it down so you don't forget it. And that would be a good time to ask it, because with this many people in the room, if you have a question, it's probably that somebody else has the same question. So I'll open in prayer, and then Brother Andrew Nashed will come up and read the scripture for the first lecture and then discussion. Our blessed Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you You loved us so much that you came down and you died on that cross and you were in that tomb that we sung about. And we just thank you for this opportunity today to remember Calvary, that we would not forget. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for a day where we could spend it around your word, and we pray that we would take advantage of this day. We've had a whole week of being focused on other things. We just pray that our sole focus today would be on you, that you would receive all the glory and honor. We just pray for each one here, and we thank you for those who have come to present the word to us. We just ask that you would bless them, that they would receive something from the scripture as well. But again, Lord Jesus, all for your glory and honor. We pray this all in your worthy name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll start reading in Exodus chapter 8, and we'll begin with verse 20. So Exodus 8 and verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he has commanded us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go far, very far away, entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated of the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time, neither would he let the people go. And then in Exodus chapter 10, and beginning at verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks, and with our herds we will go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees, or in the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God, and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin, only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated to the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea, and there remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle shall also go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For therefore we must take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. I don't think I saw any of you close enough to remember your faces. Last time I was in this meeting was 12 years ago. So I want you to remember, what were you doing 12 years ago? And by the grace of God, we're still here, we're still together, and we're still able to listen to his word, and we're growing in spite of all what went in those past 12 years. I want you just to take a second and to remember what happened in your life in the past 12 years. And remember how many things could have led you to be somewhere else today and never be here. How many things could have happened to change completely what you're able to do today? 12 years. How many things happened? But we still in this place before God with his word dependent on him, and know that he will never abandon us. He will never leave us. He stays with us, lead us and guide us. Even those who are not with us today, and maybe we wish if they were here, we know they are still in his hand. We know that he's in control. So with that spirit of faith, trust, spirit of dependence on the one that loves us so much that he will never slumber, he will never get so tired of carrying us, he will never forget how much we mean to him. He is the one that has no other occupation apart from carrying those who are his own. He's still with us and he's still carrying us. And one of the things that I hope by the grace of God that we get today is to understand more about him and understand truth. Truth. Because he is the truth. And what truth does to us, it sets us free. And this is not a feeling. It's not something we imagine. It's not something we get excited about. It's actually the truth. Every one of us lives by a set of ideas, whether we like it or not. We have a set of ideas that govern the way we behave. And those ideas are mixed. Some of it are true, some of it come from God, some of it come from his word, but some of it come from our own experiences, from the influence of culture, from what we deducted from our reasoning and thinking. And we end up having mixed things in our minds that govern our life, sometimes in a way that maybe hold us back from really knowing who is the one true God that we are ought to worship. So I am not a guy who like to wait for like fireworks We come sometimes to conferences and meetings, and I remember those days when I was your age, and I really hope for a change in my life, and I wait for such a day to have a maybe a big leap or jump or something that happens in my spiritual life to give me a big push forward. Most of the time, I cannot say ever, but it doesn't happen this way. Life of faith is steady growth. And it's not really about big events with strong emotional leaps as much as understanding in a very simple and very true way. You may have pervasive emotions, but you may not. But the one thing that will always happen, if we understand one new fact from the Word of God, it will break a bond that has held us back. Just go home with one new idea today, just one. One new idea that you believe this is what the Lord wanted me to understand today. That's all you want. And this will make you a different person going home. You may not have that huge jump that you hope for, but you will not be the same leaving this hall today. Just by understanding His Word. And I remember every time we come before Him, either in the meeting or alone, this happens to us. And day after day, we conform to His image rather than this world. We know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So we heard the background of the first lecture from the book of Exodus. And we know that story about the salvation of the Jews. The Lord delivering His people from the slavery in the land of Egypt. They are there under very harsh circumstances. Their life was bitter by all the harsh slavery that they suffered from. And the Lord felt for them. And He is intervening to bring them out. But yet, it's not again by a quick decision. And it's not by one word of Him and suddenly they are out of Egypt. That the Lord works in His own way for a very good reason. He brings Moses back. He takes Moses to Egypt. And Moses starts to talk to the Pharaoh. Let my people go. And things actually get worse. So I'm warning you. If you're planning to have good time today in this meeting, pay attention, enjoy the presence of the Lord, get the Word of God to your heart and leave this place, things might get worse. Sometimes when God intervenes in our lives, things may get worse. From our own perspective, from our own understanding, our circumstances, we hope that God's intervention will be a solution to the things that are a burden to us, things that are making our life better. But that's not God. God is not a solution to what I consider bad or a problem in my life. That bad or problem in my life may be the only representation of God in my life. The thing that I hate the most, the thing that I want to get rid of, the thing that I am here today to never see again, may be the only reason you're still with God today. Brothers and sisters, God is way above our thinking, is way above whatever we can imagine, is way above anything that we can tailor for ourselves. And if anything, my 12 years can tell you that if I had a paper and pen and I was given the opportunity to write for myself a path and pick and choose whatever I want, I would never choose where I am today. And I praise the Lord for His mercy because He never gives me that paper and pen. It would have been a disaster if I am planning my own days. And trust me, it's a disaster if we are left to our own vices to think of what is good for us. So the Lord is calling Moses. Moses is going back to Egypt. The Lord said, I remember my people. I want to be true to my promise to them. I want to deliver them because I feel with them. This is the answer to a lot of prayers. And things get worse. And who is the reason things are worse, Satan. Satan is making his grip even harder on the people of God. And who remembers that verse, that difficult verse that make people ask many questions and wonder? When God says, I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. So the fact that Pharaoh refused to let the people go was the act of God himself. How is that possible? How is that logical? How is that a solution that I would ever choose? If God wants to deliver his people and he's coming to call them out, and Pharaoh is the barrier standing in the way of God's will, why would God allow him to do such a thing? How many times you get asked this question at your school? How many times people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or reject the word of God and its authority come to you and ask such questions? If God is love, why would he allow sin in this world? If God is love, why would he allow people to go to hell? If God is love, why would he allow Satan to exist? If Satan is the reason people are making sin, why God let him do all this what he's doing? And on and on and on. All these questions that people come to you and try to show you how wise they are, how smart they are, and how justified they are in their rejection to the word of God. Let me take you to the Gospel of John. And once more, we'll see how God works in a way that is very different from ours. Let's keep that background of the story that we are about to enter into and read this verse from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And we can read from verse 22. John 4:22. This is the time when the Lord Jesus walked to meet the Samaritan woman, and this is the discourse that he had with her. And as a part of this discourse, he's answering a question about worship. She asked about worship, should we worship in this mountain in Jerusalem, or Jerusalem? And he answered in verse 22, ye worship, you know not what we worship, what we know. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For also the Father seeks such as his worshipers. God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen. In chapter 3, the Lord had a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher, was an elder, knew the word of God very well. And the Lord had a discussion with him because he came to the Lord in the middle of the night and he was seeking help from the Lord, actually admiring him, recognizing that he came from God. All the signs of somebody who's on the right track, all the signs of somebody who really got something. He knows the book, he knows the books of the Bible. He teaches them. He recognized the Lord as coming from God. He actually come to seek him himself. And then the Lord Jesus talks to him about being born again. Then the following chapter, we see a Samaritan woman who is living in sin, far as can be from God. She didn't seek the Lord. He actually walked to her. He was the one seeking her. And when she started talking to him, she didn't recognize him. She didn't know who he is. And he led her slowly to understand that he's coming from God. And then he starts to open a subject with her and talk to her about worship. So let me ask you this question. If I am teaching the word of God And I'm talking to people that I know that they have no idea about the Word of God. And I went and found them somewhere. And I decided to talk to them about the Word of God. Would you start by talking to them about being born again, or you talk to them about worship? What would you do? Tell me. What would you do? Would you think that it's a reasonable thing to do, to talk about worship to people who are like this woman? Who would think this way? Him. That's how he works. Who amongst us today consider himself very close to God, knows the Word of God, loves the Lord? And who amongst us today consider himself so far that I am even, I don't know what I'm doing here. Somebody just dragged me to this place and I'm waiting for this lecture to end, and maybe during time of break I may have a friend to get to know, or somebody to start talking to. I don't know why am I here. He's talking with the Samaritan woman about worship. He's talking with the Samaritan woman about the highest level of understanding in the relationship with God. He's talking with the Samaritan woman about the knowledge of God himself and how to worship him. He's talking with the Samaritan woman about the only thing that the Father is seeking. How many times you read about the Father seeking anything in the New Testament? How many times? The only time that you read about the Father seeking something was that the Lord Jesus mentioned here. Worshippers, such worshippers. And he's talking about all these very elevated truth to the Samaritan woman. Brothers and sisters, if I know that Jacob followed God with nothing stop him from living the will of God, and in spite of all his failures, there is hope for me. If I know that the Samaritan woman was the subject of the person that the Lord used the subject of worship to talk to her about, there is hope for me. Why am I saying this? Because there is no excuse for us, brothers and sisters, to live a poor life. There is no excuse for us to live accepting just remnant of the truth. There is no excuse for us to live without knowing all what God's heart intended for us when he called us to know him. He is talking to this Samaritan woman about everything that God wants for her. He loves her. He knows that she doesn't belong to Satan or sin on this world. She belongs to him, and we belong to him. We don't belong to any poor ideas that we created for ourselves. We don't belong to the lies that the devil is devising for us every day. We don't belong to everything that you keep reading or hearing or trying to make up alive for yourself that make you at least live in peace and be able to survive the struggles that you're going through. No one had struggled worse than this woman, and this woman was really suffering even to get a drink of water on a daily basis. Yet he's talking to her about worship. Why are we standing far? Why are we not in his bosom, enjoying everything that he wanted for us? Why are we not free? Because we are standing away from what he wanted to reveal to us. And there is an enemy that has a grip on us, and he will never let us go away. My point today is not what the enemy wants and what the enemy does. And many times we spend a lot of time thinking about what the enemy is trying to do in our lives. What's wrong? What should we avoid? And that's a mistake. What happens if a child, a baby, grabs a knife from the kitchen? The mom put a knife on a little table and the baby grabbed that knife. You try to run to the baby to take the knife away from their hand because you're worried they might injure themselves. If you don't have children, you will likely try to grab the knife. If you have children, what are you going to do? If you grab the knife, what this baby will do? They will hold more to it. But what you do is you bring whatever they like. You know something else is more attractive to them. You bring it, you give it to them. What they will do to the knife? They will drop it. They will not even look at it. Why do we keep wasting our time looking at what's wrong, trying to avoid it? Every time you look at what's wrong in your life, trying to change it, you hold on to it more. Every time you keep hearing about these are the things you have to stop, these are the things that are not building you, these are the things that are not good for you, these are the things that are holding you back, those are the friends that you shouldn't be walking with, those are the people that you shouldn't hang around with, these are the books you shouldn't read, these are not the movies you should be watching, this is not the music you should be listening to, and on and on and on. And every one of these things make you grip more and more to it. You don't want to leave it. You get involved in it more, and it becomes harder and harder every time you try to stop it. And what ends is you become a victim of all the doubts that you can imagine. And you end up being a fake. You come to the meeting, you put that facade, that front. Then you're outside living in your struggles. And you keep doing this for as long as you are good in doing it till something happens and you're discovered. And you cannot hide it anymore. And now you're not here anymore. You're gone. Yes, Satan was trying to keep the people in Egypt using different methods, different ways, but who cares? Who cares? Which lie he's trying to tell you today? I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in the lie that is holding you back today. I really mean it. And I hope from my heart that you also stop being interested in it. And just seek the only one thing that can set you free. Know him. Know him. Know the truth that he's trying to communicate to you today. And that's the only thing that will set you free. This might sound impractical. Yes, it's impractical, because what we call practical is our mind and the paper and pen that I was talking about and the things that can never fit our ability to create something logical, something that we can do and believe in. That's our nature. We only trust what we can see and touch and do. Is anything else, we call it, tell me something practical. Brother, the practical thing, the only practical thing, that we've been slaves all our lives and we have a redeemer. How can this be? The only practical thing is, if the redeemer delivers us, we are free. If we are trying to do it in a practical way, we are just getting more and more into the mud where we are struggling with. What is practical about being born again? How do you be practical doing that? The wind that flows from one side to the other, and you don't know how this happens, but you feel it. You feel it. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's the power of God beyond the world of what we can see and touch. The first thing that the Lord is saying to this woman is, God is a spirit. And if you worship him, you have to worship him in spirit. And spirit here doesn't mean the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that we worship by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is true, but that's not what he's referring to here. The Lord Jesus is referring here to the fact that God is not a matter. He's not a matter, the material. Spirit here is the opposite of material, of matter. His worship is spiritual in nature. You cannot have a temple. You cannot have candles. You cannot have lights that you can dim or not dim. You cannot have music to move your heart. You cannot dance. You cannot clap. You cannot do all these things that a material worship or a material joy or a material spiritual experience of some sort usually takes form of. God is spirit. So if we're going to live in the world of God, we have to go beyond the thinking that is holding us back. What we can do, what's practical, not practical. Why am I insisting on getting this point through to you? Because one of the answers that I always hear when I talk to somebody who's struggling with a problem, when I say we have to see the Lord, we have to see the Lord. If we see the Lord, we'll have the answer. Look at the Lord. And you remember, you will have one of two responses, either say something practical, or the other response was, yes, brother. It depends if you know how to see him or not, if you did it before or not. Because it's something that belongs to what is spirit. It's God. So the thing that the Lord is trying to take this woman to is to know God directly and worship him. And it turned out, if you go back with me to the book of Genesis, let's go to Genesis 3:18. Genesis 3:18. And here the Lord is talking to Moses, and listen to what he's telling him. Exodus, did I say Genesis? I'm sorry. That's the jet lag. I apologize. Exodus 3:18. The brother here knows I am wrong. He's smiling. Exodus 3:18. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Jehovah our God. Jehovah, God of the Hebrews, he wants his people to journey 3 days in the wilderness to sacrifice. This is truth. This is what he was talking about to the Samaritan woman. Jehovah is his name in relationship. That's the name that brings to attention his desire to have a relationship with us. That's his name in covenant. That's his name with his creation in relationship. In chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, he is Elohim, creating everything, the supreme God. But in chapter 2 in the book of Genesis, when he created Adam, he is Jehovah. This is the name of God in relation to his covenant with people, in relationship to his people when he wants to enter in relationship with him. This is what it's all about. He wants a relationship. He wants us to belong to him. He wants us to worship him. There is nothing else, brothers and sisters. Nothing else. He's not interested in your ministry. He's not interested in your accomplishment in this world. He's not interested in how intelligent you are. He's not interested in your fame, power, knowledge, degree, job. He's not interested in anything that this world is all about. He's interested in you. And whether you believe it or not, even if you're not interested in yourself, and even if the closest people who know you are not interested in you, he is interested in you, and that's it. It's as simple as this, as true as this. He is Jehovah. He is the God of the Hebrews. He is the God of those who cross over, those who leave everything else to get to him. It seems like those people that he is interested in are in some form of a problem. They are trapped. They are in the wrong place. And they have no chance of knowing him unless they are crossing over. This is why he is the God of The Hebrews. The God of those who cross over. The God of those who separate themselves or be delivered from the wrong spot where they are trapped in. And to be able to do that, they have to journey 3 days. Why 3 days? Why not two? Why not four? 3 days. Three is the number of resurrection. It seems like the only way for those people to get redeemed, deliver, cross over, get out of the place of slavery is death. But death is not the end. Death is the beginning of a new life. So it has to be through death and resurrection. And once we die and rise again, we will be able, on the other side, away from slavery, to worship. Worship. Offer sacrifices. So, as I finish this lecture, I will tell you, if we are unable to worship today, the only reason is we are still alive. We are still alive. Those pews are wood. Is your back hurting you? You feel it? You're still alive? Are you tired a little bit and you feel a little bit headache and you're trying to work so hard to be able to focus? If you have headache and you're feeling distracted, you're alive. Do you think about what's coming next? As soon as we break, what's going to happen? Because, you know, it has been a while now I'm sitting and I need to stand up and move. If you feel this way, you are alive. If you came here expecting something, just the mere fact that you're expecting something, you are alive. You're not going to be disappointed if you have no expectations. Why do people build nice buildings to worship? Why do they bring very nice looking bands to worship? Why do they like to have 1,000 people? Better, it's bigger, it's nicer. Why do we like these things? Why do we see them? Why do we consider them success? Because we are alive. We are still doing what we want. We are still doing what we think is right. Even to honor God, we are still in control. We are still seeking what satisfies us. Brothers and sisters, there is no relationship with God without death. If you think God will serve the flesh, you don't know God. God will bring Satan himself and make your life miserable to deliver you from his grip. You think God can be mocked? You think we can fool him? You think we can get away with a little bit of prayer and a little bit of singing and a little bit of Bible reading and a little bit of going to the meeting? You can fool your parents this way. But not God. Our life would be miserable. You look like you're in the best years of your life. I have no idea. And maybe some of you have no idea. But what God has for us is something beyond any imagination. Something that you never thought possible. Because you cannot plan your life and you cannot tell God what to do in your life and you cannot imagine or make it practical or try to do it yourself. We have to stop. Because we have to die. Life with him starts by death. Worship is the only goal, but he is the God of those who are willing to journey 3 days in the wilderness. Are you willing to take this journey with them? Are you willing to leave everything behind? And I'm not talking to you as an unbeliever, I'm talking to you as a believer. I'm talking to you as somebody who committed your life to the Lord Jesus, but you're still fighting for it. You know it's an idol, and you're still worshiping, hoping that God would make that idol happier and bigger and nicer and more secure.
solve the problems of that island. And woe to the meeting that doesn't serve my needs, and woe to the friends that don't help me do whatever I want, and woe to the whole universe if I'm not the center of it. Why did he talk to the Samaritan woman about worship? Because she was at the end of her life. The ropes, she's done. She's done. Why did he talk to Nicodemus about being born again? Because he thought he had something. He still had a lot of things going for him. Where are we today? Who in the presence of God can think of himself as somebody or something? Who can come before him and think that I have something that I can stand before God with? What is it that we have other than being sinners? Good in nothing but sin. Without the grace of God that delivered us from the grip of Satan and brought us to him, to know him and to worship him. May the Lord lead us through the day to continue this journey. Freedom. True freedom. Freedom to worship him. Freedom to follow him. And freedom that he will guard till we see him face to face. Let's pray.